When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In here, we pour whiskey.
Who is that creature in the ginger beard?
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it today. Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Trejo.
What's
Danny
up?
Danny Trejo, the man. How are you, brother?
Oh, I'm cool, but I remember whiskey and ginger and wild, wild women. They'll drive you crazy. They'll make you insane.
Oh, that's awesome.
How's that?
That's great. What is that from? What is that? Is that an old song?
I don't know.
This is some old street shit.
I think I did that in a movie.
Did you? Yeah. Whiskey and ginger. Women will drive you insane.
Oh, my God.
They
Tell
will,
me
right?
about it. I've been married four times.
Four times? Good
and
God.
And divorced four.
And divorced all four times. You're a free man, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'll drink to that. Drink to the
awesome.
Free man. All
yes,
right.
Yes.
Cheers to that. A free man four times, man. When did you first get married? How young were you?
Oh, God. I just got out of youth authority. I was like 19 or 18.
19, 16. 18? Yeah.
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 How many
kids? You got a lot of kids?
I got three kids, but God, none with my wives.
they're just out there, huh? I like that. I like that, man. How old's your oldest?
My oldest is 36. That's Danny boy.
36.
My youngest, my next one is Gilbert. He's 32. And my daughter, Danielle Reyna, queen of the world, she's 28.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah. And you love them all the same, or which one do you like the most?
Oh, God, I love them all.
Okay, none of you don't like one more than others?
No, they're just all awesome.
I was, see, out of mine, I was the least favorite. My mother liked my sister more than me. Yes, I was a punk-ass piece of shit. I was a brat.
You know what? Every one
brat.
Of them has their own deal and
right.
place in my heart.
My deal was deep. Being an asshole. That was my deal. Yeah, and it worked out.
Yeah.
I'm a born and raised Chicago guy, but I moved to LA about 14 years ago. You're a staple of Los Angeles.
Right
okay, I
want to
give you some love, man. Yeah. This is your city.
Dead,
I saw you at a Rams game, a couple of Rams games last year on the field boost, man.
Yeah.
The love you get is crazy. LA is like obsessed with you. You got an itch to scratch.
No, I got a phone that get
out. Oh, you got another phone.
You
got two phones? One for the plug and one for the load? Is that what that is?
Yeah, one for the burner.
That's right. But, that's right. That's why you've been divorced four times.
You got two
that's what that's from. But listen, you're from Echo Park, right?
You know what? Actually, I was raised in Pacoima. I was born on Temple Street, moved to Echo Park, got in trouble, went to Texas for, I was supposed to stay 3 years. I stayed one summer, and then came back to LA, and my mom and dad bought a house in Pacoima in the Valley. That's where I grew up.
In Pacoima, yeah. But LA's still home, man. You're an LA guy through and through.
All the
way.
I used to be in LA. I used to ride streetcars downtown LA. You
wow.
know?
Back when there were, huh?
Yeah, it was awesome. You go any place in LA in 30 minutes, any place. It didn't matter.
Well, tell me this. Is this true? Because I've heard this rumor. You know, there's the medians that go along. What is that? Wilshire that goes all the way to the water? That used to be streetcars, right?
Cars. You know what? Every place. Let me show you how brilliant we are. Okay,
yeah.
we had the best transit system in the world. We had turned a profit every year, and then our tire companies and our car companies, yep. right, bought them all up and turned us into the worst car city in the world.
That's insane.
And everywhere they're putting the rapid transit in right now, we used to have tracks.
Wow. Isn't that crazy?
They're
going back and doing the shit
Absolutely.
Again.
Absolutely.
They got rid of the shit and they got it again.
Except for now, it's costing us $4,365,000 a quarter of an inch.
God.
I mean, there's some ridiculous amount of money.
I wish I had that much money for the inches of my penis. I'd have just 8 million. Just 2 inches. That's max for me. That's wild that they ripped all that shit out and they're putting it all back, you know?
Yeah,
I'm new to LA. You know, I grew up in Chicago, and LA to me, I always knew as this crazy busy traffic city. Yeah. And then I talked to people, they're born and raised here. They're like, never, it never used to be that way.
No.
It got worse and worse.
Well,
and worse.
Well, you know what? It's still not, people say it's bad, but it, Los Angeles, it's all about maneuvering.
Yeah, you got to learn how to maneuver.
It's like we had, like I had Waze in my mind a long time before they brought it out.
Right. They stole it from your head. Yeah, you were Waze.
Make a left here. You know,
do you remember, what are the old, what were those Thomas guides? You remember Thomas guides?
Oh, absolutely.
Those old maps?
Yeah.
I used to have to, I used to use those.
You know what? It was like, I can remember when San Fernando Road was the main drag. That was actually Highway 5.
That was like the main thoroughfare,
freeway.
Huh?
Yeah. That was 5, yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Have you lived anywhere else besides Los Angeles? Have you?
Texas for a summer.
Yeah, but other than that.
No, L.A.'s my town.
You love this place.
Yeah, yeah.
So are you? So tell me, are you are you a Rams fan or are you a Raiders fan?
Oh, I'm a Rams fan.
You're a Rams fan.
Yeah, I used to sneak into the Rams. I used to sneak into the Coliseum in 1957.
Damn.
You know, we would sneak in, you know, just walk in with the family, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, they adopted a Mexican school. You know?
That's when you could sneak into shit. Now they kill you, man.
No,
you try to sneak into shit now, they murder you, you know.
Now they got, like, you know, you go through a metal detector and, you know, then all you had to do is wait in the bathroom and then somebody walked by and just walk out.
Just poke
you know?
In. Yeah. Yeah, the good days. So Rams, Dodgers or no?
Absolutely.
And what about Lakers or Clippers? Who do you
Absolutely.
Work? Both?
I'm an L.A. fan.
Yeah, you like it all.
I'm an L.A. fan.
Right.
And if the Rams play the Chargers, right?
Yeah.
Because they're both L.A. teams now.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll just say, what's the point spread?
What's the spread, baby? Yeah, where's my money going? That's what I want to know.
That's who I'll bet on. And same thing with the Dodgers and the Angels. Every time they, what's the spread? That's all.
Yeah. Are you a big sports guy? You love sports?
I love sports.
Yeah. Do you keep sports. What do you keep up with the most? What's your
boxing,
sport?
Probably boxing.
You love boxing,
yeah,
huh?
I still boxing, though. MMA. I just, there's too many sexual positions men are taking.
Is MMA too gay for you? Is too many dude on dude shit?
Wait, hold it. Hey, they're not wrestling no more.
Yeah. Know? Why are they kissing? Is that part of the fight? That's crazy.
So,
yeah.
It's just not. I like the science of boxing.
Well, you were. I mean,
yeah,
I say once you're a boxer, you're always a boxer, right? You were a boxer. You trained
time.
For years. Your grandfather or your uncle?
My uncle Gilbert. Yeah, he was a Golden Gloves champion. So he started. I was gonna say sparring. I was his punching bag.
Right.
Since I was like 8 years old,
He's
9 years
on
old.
You.
Yeah. And so I had to learn how to fight or get my head kicked in. You know.
Was it headshots or body shots?
No, all of them. So what I would do, I'd wait till he get loaded, and then I'd fuck him up.
Get him liquored up and then start popping him?
Yeah.
That's great. So when you fought when you were young, when did you start boxing?
Well, I started boxing. I was about 11, and I fought a kid at Burbank Armory.
At the Armory?
He was about 13.
Damn.
And so... That was it.
Once you started, you never wanted to stop,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah,
and did you fight at any like semi-professional level or league or anything like that?
Well, you know, when I came out of the joint in 69, I tried to get a license, and because of the violence I had on my record, they could put me on probation for 2 years. So Howie Steinler, who was a big trainer here now, he would do, I'd get club fights. You know, I would go into clubs, kind of underground. And,
right.
And... Make good money. You know, I made good money.
Underground fights made good money back in the day, huh?
Well, good money then was like, you know, $500 for a fight. You know?
That's still good. I don't know what guys are getting paid these days. You know what I mean? I mean, boxing is taking such a turn. I don't know what they're making now.
Well, I'm embarrassed to say what they're making.
Yeah.
No, but you'd make like $500, you know, $200, $300,
depending on the fight.
It was kind of a, you know, it's sometimes you'd have a manager say, hey, we're really trying to bring this kid along.
Right.
You know? So I'd say, well, okay, let's put a little more in my envelope and I'll give him 3 rounds. And
that's exactly right. Yeah. Give him a little money, feed my family, and then we'll have a conversation, right?
You know, and so, I had a bunch of fights. I did pretty good, but you realize that, boy, this ain't what I want to do for a living.
Getting your head hit is not the thing. Did you, as a kid, I know enough about you because I'm a fan of you and a fan of your work, and you've said that acting was never like a thought in your head, right?
No.
So as a kid, what did you have anything that you really wanted to do? Was there one thing you're like, damn, I really want to do that?
Yeah, God, you know what? There's a dude, I'll tell you right now. Charlie Diaz and my uncle Gilbert Trejo, right? they had just done a robbery, I think. I was about 9 years old, 8 years old, I can't remember. And they showed up, they were wearing black pegger pants, black shoes, black shirt, and black top coats.
Oh, okay, you know, okay.
But they were the, God, it was beautiful coats. And they had just did a robbery, so they had all these ones.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get the girl next door to my grandma's to show me her tits. And she wouldn't, you know. And is that okay to say?
You can say whatever you want, man. So, this is America.
And so she wouldn't do it. And then they showed up, and they were like floor showing. So they, here, take these ones. So they each gave me about 8 ones.
Okay.
So I'm like 9 years old.
Balling.
I got like $18.
Shit.
$1. They were like just showing up. Here, we don't want these ones.
Yeah, these little, these mean nothing to us.
And so then I went. And I thought, wow, wait a minute. So I asked this girl, hey, I'll give you $3. And it's okay. So she showed me them. Then I said, well, I'll give you another dollar. Let me touch them.
So, $3 to let you see them, $1 to let you touch them. So, by the way, you still got a good amount of money left over. You know what I mean? Like you got.
So I was a baller.
Yeah, you were killing it.
But I seen these guys, right? I seen these guys in the way they were. That's what I want to do.
You know, yeah.
I want to be a gangster.
You want to be a gangster, man. Yeah, right?
And really, in my neighborhood, you had like three alternatives. You could either be a laborer.
Right.
Or, I don't know, some kind of job.
Right.
Or a gangster, a dope dealer.
And a gangster. Yeah, or be a part of a gang. Yeah, a proper-ass gang.
But to me, I didn't really like gang. Gangs were followers, you know. Gang members, you gotta have followers. You know,
sure.
I'll be the president, or I won't be nothing.
So you just want to be a solo gangster?
Well, you know, well, my uncle was an armed robber,
right?
And armed robbers don't enjoy gangs because they don't like sharing.
Yeah, nobody likes to share, right? Thieves don't like giving away the shit they just stole. They don't want to get robbed again. They just rob somebody. That contradicts everything.
So I wanted to be like them. I don't want to share.
No. I get that. I don't want to share. If I'm stealing from someone, I want to keep all that.
You know, gangster, they got to put everything like, okay, well, how much did you make? And, you know, you give it to the boss.
Right.
You know, fuck him.
Fuck him, man. Run the block yourself.
Unless I'm getting it, you know what I mean?
That's exactly right.
So, and it's so funny. It's like people talk about gangs. All gangs today are paying taxes.
Really?
You know, so when you see a gang member, he's paying taxes to stand on that corner.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, fuck you, shit.
Yeah.
You know,
I like that.
I mean,
be your own gang.
Yeah, you know, be your own guy.
That's
you
right.
know, and so, you know, the gang that I was in, a gang called the Yulons. We were in the San Fernando Valley, and we were the guys that were like kicked out of every other neighborhood.
Right. Oh, so you were like the Bad News Bears of the gangs. You got fucked out of every gang.
You know that guy that when he shows, everybody's, oh, shit, he's damn, don't say nothing. You know that guy. We were that guy.
That were you, when you came around, people go, oh, fuck, the cops
were going to show up.
Right.
There was going to be a fight. So
did you have a nickname, by the way, in the gang?
No. All of us got together and just, we're just always just in trouble.
Causing trouble.
Yeah.
What was the most fun thing you did? Like, what was the most fun thing that you did when you were in the gang, when you were running around? Like, what kind of trouble did you do that you were like, that's my favorite?
You know what? Well, let me see. God, it was just like, you know, just really gang fights.
Yeah.
Shootings. And Frank Russo was, God, my best pal, man. He shot a cop, shot a kid coming out of the hospital.
Jesus.
And it was kind of, you know, that was kind of like just everything blew up and we were just not good guys
at
the time.
Yeah, you're not happy about it. Are you blowing up? Is that your phone?
It's Chubby's Automotive. Hold on.
Take it, baby.
Chub Dog, what's up? Okay. Hey, check this out. Right now you're on a podcast. Anybody that wants their car fixed, good. Go to Chubby's Automotive at Silmar Home.
Best Silmar, dude, baby.
There is.
Is that Chubby on the
That's
phone?
That's Chubby on the phone.
What's up, Chubby?
Hey.
Hey, I'm going to talk to Chubby. Chubby, what's up? It's Andrew Santino. You're on the Whiskey Ginger podcast. They can't hear you, but I got to tell you, man, we're plugging your spot. We're plugging Chubby's. All right, dog. All right, we'll talk to you later. Peace. There's Chubby, bro.
All right, homie. I'll talk to you later.
Chubby sounds like a nice dude. Bye. You can only trust a dude who fixes a car named Chubby.
I'm telling you something right now.
Chubby sounds like a guy who fixes cars.
Like, I'm not. I can take my cars. I got a lot of vintage cars.
Yeah.
I can take them everywhere, right? I can take them anywhere and afford to have.
Of course.
This guy.
Chubby's is the best.
I drop them off there to fix them.
You got to have a guy who fixes your car with a nickname. Chubby's is great. If this is just Tom, I don't trust Tom. Fuck Tom. Chubby. Well, it's got to be Chubby, you know? It's got to be like, someone that knows what the, has some
and,
culture to
and, him. And I mean, he's like, you know, like, God, he just, every one of them. I got runners. I got a 1936 Dodge that we could jump in right now and take it to Frisco.
Beautiful, man.
You know, long as don't go over 50.
How many cars you got?
But vintage, about 8, 9.
That's
but
great.
These are all drivers, and they're all cars that I've worked on. They're not like, you know, like Leno and all. They just buy them.
They buy them, and they got a garage. They keep them in. They're fancy. That's all. That's fancy, right?
I got a 6-car garage.
That's big. That's big. That's, is that where you keep the rest of the cars?
On the side of the house.
That's nice, man. That's great. Right in the front yard. That's real L.A. shit.
Hello.
That's L.A. That's East L.A. shit. Park them in the front. Fuck it. We're out of driveway. Yeah, the lawn is a driveway.
You know, so.
So as a youth, though, I don't. We don't need to focus on all of that shit when you coming up and getting into trouble. And now you've kind of like regained a whole new second life. You know what I mean? Like you're a businessman. You're an actor. Yeah. You're an investor. Like I mean, let me tell you something. Trejo's Tacos, Trejo's Donut. I mean, you're fucking everywhere.
But everything good that has happened to me has happened as a direct result of helping someone else. Everything.
That's a good thing. I honestly believe
that that's the way the good Lord wants us to live. It's like you got to help somebody every day.
Right.
Do something. You know what I mean? Even if it's just move a refrigerator.
Do some good shit.
Yeah. Do something for someone.
What would you argue is the moment? Like, was there a moment when you were locked up or where you were trying to get your life together that you go, I gotta make some serious moves to change my life?
Cinco de Mayo, 1968.
Yeah.
I was 4 years old. No. No. It's 1968. I was in Soledad State Prison. Me, Ray Pacheco, Henry Quijada incited a riot, they alleged. And some people were seriously hurt.
Yeah.
You know, a free person was socked, and that is a gas chamber offense. Ray Pacheco socked a free person. Henry had kicked off their coach. It was alleged that I'd thrown a rock and hit Lieutenant Givens in the head.
Was it true?
It was alleged.
It was alleged. Who knows?
So we went to the hole. So basically, I'm thinking, this is not good.
No.
You know, and because I knew it was a gas chamber offense. Me and Ray and Henry were yelling at each other, talking about what we're going to do, And I said, you know, just plead not guilty. You know, just plead not guilty.
Yeah.
And so basically, the whole thing was a DJ reject. The DJ rejected because he couldn't get a witness.
There was
2,000 people on the yard, and all the letters were, "Your mother did it." You know,
none of the prisoners wanted to snitch. No one says shit.
No,
yeah, your mama threw the rock, bitch.
And Mickey Mouse did it, and Pluto. All of them.
Oh yeah, they were all involved in the inciting a riot.
And
Marvin the Martian was on one.
And so. While I was there, I asked God to let me die with dignity. That's all. I didn't.
Because you thought you were going to die.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you thought that was it.
And so I said, you know, just let me die with. Because what had happened is a long time ago, I'd seen this movie with the East Side Kids years ago,
right?
In the 50s. And the bad dude in the neighborhood goes to they're sending him up the river to the chair,
you know? Yeah.
And so the gang was saying, yeah, he'll spit in their eyes. Yeah, he'll yell, "Come and get me, coppers!" You know,
they'll tell him all the
tough guys. And then Pat O'Brien had to come out and tell the gang, Nah, he was screaming like a bitch.
He was pussing out.
He pussed out. And so they were like heartbroken, right? And I had a little reputation on the yard. I was a lightweight and welterweight champion. I was a shot caller, you know? Right. And so I remember asking God, just let me die with dignity. That's right. All. Don't let me piss my pants or shit or scream mother or tell him,
right.
You know, don't just let
just
me
just want to go out like a man.
Yeah.
That's and, all. Let me die like a man.
And let me, you know, die with dignity, die with like a man. And then the DJ Reject came down. So when I hit the yard again, I had to, God, it's like, okay, well now, this wasn't a promise like get me out of trouble so my mom won't be mad. This is like the real shit.
That's
so
real.
I started trying to be a better person in prison.
Right.
I got so good, they made me an inmate social catalyst. I was like a counselor in prison because they had to get somebody that the guards trusted and somebody that the inmates trusted.
Right. You were the buffer, so to speak.
Yeah,
you're kind of like
so
that. Yeah.
Guys would come with me to their, and I'd let them know what was, you know, well, this is what we can do. So when I got out, I'm thinking, okay, now what? How am I going to be a nice guy?
Right.
I've robbed everybody in this neighborhood, and
not giving it back.
Nobody was glad I came home. You know?
Right.
But I remember seeing this old lady pull out her trash, because in 1969 they used to put trash all in a big can and drag it out.
Oh, right.
You know, they didn't have the roly-poly.
Didn't have the rollies
stuff,
now. Yeah, now the rollies.
And I went to help her. I'll never forget. I walked down to help her. Her words to me were, "No me robas, shut up." She told me, "Don't rob me." I shut up. You know, I got her trash. I pulled it out. And then I walked to the backyard to get the other can. A lady never took her eyes off me. She knew I was going to...
She thought you were up to some shit.
Oh, I'm going to break for the... I'm going to steal her lawnmower or something, right? Right? I was a dope fiend. I just stole everything. And I grabbed her trash and brought it back. And then she, like, walked over. Oh, never took her eyes off me. And that's what I started doing. I just started taking the old people's trash out.
Just helping old people in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was it. And my mom, the first present that I can remember getting... Because you don't get presents in prison.
Some people do. Those are gifts I don't like.
Yeah, but you don't want to be one of them guys.
It's not
right?
My gift.
You know, if somebody gives you a present, stab them.
Yeah.
You know. So I remember this. Somebody brought me this suede, fake suede.
Sure.
Double-breasted coat.
Yeah.
And his mom said, "Mijo, the old guy with the he had that crippling arthritis, and he couldn't get his trash out. He would have to like kick his cans because he couldn't grab with it. So he says, he brought that for you." And so I said, "Wow." And it's everything good that has ever happened to me has happened as a direct result of helping someone
That's
else.
A beautiful way of living, man. That was the beginning of everything, right?
You know what? Every one of my friends carries thermal underwear or socks in their trunk. Because we hand them to the homeless. It doesn't matter. I don't care. And I know people don't want homeless in their front yard, all that crap. And I understand.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But they need to have
They're humans,
under.
Too.
That's it.
They're human beings, man.
And so that's what we do. I carry dog biscuits because I love animals. So anybody's got a dog, I just give them.
Right, and if a woman you see is ugly enough, you might feed that to her too. This is terrible.
You had to say that.
I'm fucking around. No, but everything you've done, you know, you've had this great success now, and then now you've built businesses and employed people and lifted up your community. I mean, listen, if ever there was the American dream, you're the American. That's the American dream, man.
I love
right?
It.
You yeah. that's you start from when someone says I started from zero, they're probably full of shit. You started from zero. I mean, you had zero.
Well, I think I had less. You know,
yeah, you were negative. Yeah, you were negative.
Prison
points.
Negative.
Yeah. Prison points get you negative.
You know, but you know what? It's like I honestly believe that what the good Lord wants me to do is give them guys hope, because it doesn't matter where you start; it matters where you finish.
Yeah,
and like my cousin Gilbert right now, he just finished doing 38 years.
38 years.
Went in when he was 17. Okay,
God damn.
55 right now. And by law or by statistics, he should already be back. He's been out 2 years. He's getting into the electrical union. He's helping build the stadium, the new Rams Stadium.
Oh shit! Wow.
And then he works as an usher in the evening at the Staples Center and at the Lakers games and stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He works as an usher. Because I said, Gilbert, when did you sleep? He said, Danny, I slept for 38 years.
Yeah, he slept a lot.
Crazy. He's having the time of his life.
So he's found a renewed sense too.
But there's a guy named, oh God, please. There's a couple of people that work with ex-convicts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're amazing. Scott is one of them. They work for programs that help
ex-cons.
Ex-cons.
Like Homeboy Industries, you know Homeboy Industries? That's one of them. Yeah, they're one of the best.
Mario works with Homeboy. Mario's one of the guys that I use as an assistant to Mario Castillo. And right now he also works with Casa Rivas, which is basically he's got like about 15 lifers in it that
Damn.
Have come out of the joint and finding them jobs, doing
trying to get them back in the community.
Yeah.
For people that don't know, Homeboy Industries and a lot of places like this, what they do is they make sure people that have gotten out of prison get back into normal society because the people that want to work and contribute. You know, I think there's this bullshit idea in our community where it's like, because you've gone to prison, there's nothing left for you. You know what I mean? And I think these places give people hope to go, no, fuck that. You can still contribute. We want you to be back in society. If you're reforming and want to get back to square one, you know, I think that's what's good.
One of the biggest problems that we have is that young kids in neighborhoods want to identify with guys that have gone to prison.
Right.
So if they come out and they're a negative, then they're going to influence 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids.
Sure. Yeah, that spreads.
If a guy comes out and he's a positive and is telling them, hey, look, that's not the way you want to go. You think that's cool, let me tell you about that, and pull them to a side. All of a sudden, their role model has switched to somebody that's positive.
Right.
Do you understand?
It's yes.
Like when you speak in schools, I go to schools and I talk. I don't care who you are. When you walk into an auditorium, first you have to get this auditorium's attention.
Yeah.
All right. Impossible because the kids don't have none.
Right. Right?
Then you got to keep their attention, which is impossible because of number one, they don't have any.
Right.
And then you have to teach them, show them that you're cool. Now, if you're 10 years older than them, you automatically lost your cool button. You're not cool. You're
well,
not,
yeah.
You know, you're a Republican. And and then you deliver your message. My message is drugs and alcohol will ruin your life if you're addicted to them. There's people that drink and that's fine. You know, they have no problem. Some of us take it to an excess. Drugs and alcohol ruin your life. Education is the key to anything you want to do. Anybody can deliver that message. Only problem is they're not listening.
Yeah.
The blessing that I've got is that when I walk onto that campus, I got everybody's attention.
Yeah.
Not me, not Danny Trejo, but the guy from Spy Kids, the guy from Heat, the guy from Desperado, the guy from Blood In, Blood
Con
Out.
Con Air.
The guy from Con Air. They want to hear what that guy has to say. And if that guy says, education, good. You know, failure, bad. Hey, they believe it.
Yeah, they listen up.
Absolutely.
Positive spreads much more wonderfully than negative
Absolutely.
Bullshit. Negative
and
shit's
so
bad.
It's like I get, you know, teachers have told me, my God, how'd you do that, Danny? It's not me. It's that guy from Spy Kids.
Right. It's a Spy Kids dude, man.
Machete.
That's Machete doing all that shit. Do you feel like because of the success that you've had in Hollywood, do you think that people think they know you, but they don't really know you? Does ever happen? Yeah, that's
Absolutely.
Wild, right? People think they know you.
People come up and start talking to me like we were
like your best
cousins.
Friends.
Yeah,
and shit.
Cool.
And
I just fall into it. Yeah, all right. Cool.
Yeah, fuck it. Because it's strange, right? Because you are your own individual, but because of the popularity, they think that's always Danny Trejo. But yeah. Machete isn't Danny Trejo. The Spy Kids guy isn't Danny Trejo. Yeah. These are, you're a different man, right? Yeah, you have to wear a million different hats, you know? And I mean, that's kind of the beauty, though, is as long as the hats that you're wearing are hats you enjoy. Let me tell you something, dude. I've had your tacos. They're fucking good.
Yeah. You know what? That started again. I did a low-budget movie, called Badass.
Yeah.
So it's kind of your low budget, is a favor or whatever.
Sure, just for fuck around.
Everything good that's happened to me has happened as a direct result of helping someone else. So I do this movie for a cool director, right? This guy named Craig Moss. And in it, Ash was the producer.
Right.
This guy, Ash, I forget his last name, but my business partner, I forget his last name. And he saw that I like good food. I don't eat junk food too much, right?
Yeah, you're not a junk food guy.
And because my mom was a great cook, you know, she was unhealthy but great. You know? he says, "Danny, why don't you open a restaurant?" So jokingly, I said, "Trejo's Tacos," we did Badass. Then we did Badass 2. Then we did Badass on the Bayou with Danny Glover. All of them made money. And when we did Badass on the Bayou, we were in Louisiana. He handed me this business plan.
Oh, he had outlined the whole thing.
Yeah, and so, you know, being the brilliant businessman that I am, I gave it to my agent and my Gloria Hinojosa, my secretary, Mary Matickle. I says, "Here, check this out. Let me know what it is." Cause the three lines, and I'm done. I mean, I'm ADD. I can't sit still. And they said, "Hey, this looks like
it's going to work."
You know,
who did you choose as like your head chef? Did you have someone in mind?
Oh man, we've got a chef. His name is Mason. He's like young, and this guy is brilliant.
Did he copy any of your mom's recipes?
Well, what he did was, yeah, but he put the, you know, because Mexicans, you know, in the 50s, put a little more lard, más manteca. You know what I mean?
Yeah, more fat. Yeah,
and
más manteca.
So he came up with some brilliant. Brilliant stuff that still tasted like mama, you know.
So it does, yeah, it's not the same ingredients, you know, but the same flavors.
And, well, you know what? It's because a lot of food, even like health, they say about healthy food, it's like biting into styrofoam.
Yeah,
it's got to have taste. You know? I like that jackfruit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like tastes like meat and it's good and you know
yeah.
that kind of stuff. You know, and we have a cauliflower taco that was the number one recipe. Last year.
Yeah, you won an award, right?
Yeah,
did you guys win the
LA
cauliflower
Times. Yeah, you
Rainbow
kidding?
Cauliflower, that's you what know, it was, right?
Delicious.
Yeah, man. Do you still eat meat or are you
yeah,
off? Yeah, you
I,
eat that
I
shit.
I didn't do a cow in a minute, but late at night, I don't like to eat a, you know, a lot of meat.
You're not going to eat a burger at 1 in the morning. Yeah, get yourself some cauliflower.
I'll eat like cauliflower tacos and stuff late in the evening.
Well, you have to take care of yourself because you're not a young man anymore, right? Not
I
as young as you
young
once
a
were.
Long time ago.
You're a good-looking dude for your age, man. I got to tell you, man. You got to stay healthy somehow. What's your trick? What do you do?
You know what? I walk. I still work out.
You
I
still work weights, out. Yeah.
But I live light. I don't work out. I got to. It's funny. Me and Craig Munson. Craig Munson was Mr. World, right? And,
that's nuts.
And
you were working out with Mr. World.
Yeah,
that's wild, guy, man.
But you know, he used to lift like you know. At the time, we used to live like he used to live like 5 plates. You know, 5:45.
That's crazy.
But he would get just excited if I did 315. You know, so I mean, but we still work out, but we work out light.
Yeah.
Once you get older, and you know, like me, like I don't take any supplements other than vitamins. You know?
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why I'm still healthy, and all them heroes in the movies, they're all sicker than hell.
Yeah, they're all gone. I know it's wild, right?
You know what
they all,
I mean?
Well, because you take all that shit over so many years, your muscles break down, your body can't handle that stuff. You put more foreign shit in your body, it's way, way worse.
If you notice, I've none of them will work with me because I will flex.
Yeah, like, you flex on them,
I
huh?
will flex real. Well, no, this is real muscle.
Yeah, bitch. This isn't fake, bitch. These aren't implants.
And it's funny, but you know, like, people talk about who's tough. You know, one of the toughest guys, really, all bullshit aside, there's a guy named Chuck Norris, okay? Now, all your karate guys in the movies, right? They're all full of shit.
Yeah.
Okay, Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris is the legit.
Like the real thing.
Yeah.
I remember seeing him and Benny Yukitas fight kickboxing. Oh, God, they were beautiful.
It was awesome.
I remember the first film I did with Chuck, I did a movie called... God, Maniac Cop 3. And I'm watching him. He's not that tall. He's got shoulders just wide.
He's not a big guy.
And I'm thinking, you know, I'm happy. And then he's like practicing with his sensei. And I watch him do this spin kick, kick a mitt about 6 feet high. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bam! Kicked it. And he goes, wait, let's do that again. I was a little slow. I thought, Mr. Norris?
Before that, you were sizing him the fuck up.
I'm sizing him up. You know? Yeah. After, Mr. Norris?
Excuse me, sir?
Get you some coffee.
He's the most, you think he's the most bad dude,
huh? The
real
deal. He's the real deal.
Did you ever have, you don't have to talk shit if you don't want to, did you ever have someone that you thought was going to be great, but they were a diva? Was anybody a big diva? Because you don't seem like you put up with bullshit.
No, you know what? I've pulled a couple people aside and told them, look, I'll beat you to death. Hold on.
Yeah, stop, cut that bullshit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. But most people really treat me, you know, really with a lot of respect, man.
Right.
And then when you got guys... You know, when you talk about like Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Val Kilmer, these are gentlemen. They're
you
like,
worked with all of them too.
They're like gentlemen. And it's like so weird. It's like these they're like the real thing. You know what I mean? And God, I remember when we did Heat, and
one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh God, man! And De Niro was just like so unbelievably cool.
Yeah.
My kid talked to my kid was about 9 years old, Gilbert. Right, and Gilbert just directed me in a movie. Right, he just my son, 32 years old,
just directed you.
Just directed me in a movie that he wrote called From a Son. Unbelievable movie.
Amazing. Roles. That's got to feel so good to work with your kid.
Oh
huh?
Yeah, and every time he'd tell me something, I'd look at him and go, "I used to put you on timeout.
You came from my nutsack. Watch the way you talk to me, bitch."
And he would like, "Dad, please." You know?
Yeah.
And this guy, he was like amazing, but. But when my son met Robert De Niro, right? He's 9 years old. And I said, "Hey, Gilbert, this is Robert De Niro. Rob, Bob, this is my son." And Robert goes, "Hi, Gilbert." My son goes, "You talking to me? You talking to me? You must be talking." Really, Robert De Niro hugged him. I said,
"That's
Gilbert,
hilarious.
You didn't see that movie." He goes, "The Comedy Channel, Dad."
Yeah. So, you talked to him, man.
Oh, and him and De Niro became friends.
That's wild. Yeah, so he grew up with you in that in that world, huh?
And I wanted him to be an actor because his look, right?
Right.
Secretly, that little shit learned camera. He learned lighting.
Smart.
He learned everything. He learned the whole thing behind my back.
Yeah, good. Good.
Yeah,
you know, being an actor's tough. He's got the head on him.
I don't know nothing.
Yeah. You let that thing go. Yeah, all this stuff. Who the fuck knows how it works?
I know how to find my light.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. Your skills are defined, man. Yeah. They're very defined.
Yeah.
So of all the films that you did, of all the films that you've done over the years, you're never going to stop. I know you have a long time to go. Yeah. Is there one that you feel like changed your career forever? Was there one that you go, man, that's the thing that I feel like it was everything
for
me?
You know what? I think Desperado gave me a name. Desperado.
So good.
And I never said a word.
Yeah,
I never said a word in Desperado.
You didn't have to in that fucking movie.
And I became strong. And it was funny because Robert Rodriguez, Robert, come on, give me a line. He goes, "No, Dan, no, come on. Robert, come on, give me a line." He's, "Danny, you can say more with your face than most actors can with a page
with a
of
thousand
dialogue.
Words, yeah.
So just shut up." You know? And we got in an argument, right? And then when that guy came out, the strongest character in...
Yep.
And so it was funny.
He was right.
When we were having this big... question and answer for all the people that made the movie, and they asked me, "Danny, you didn't say a word, and yet that was the strongest. Was that an actor's choice?" I said, "Absolutely."
You took all the credit. Yeah, man, that was my choice, you know.
Yeah,
Rodriguez was like yelling at me, like, say something. I was like, "Shut the fuck up, man, I'm trying to do my work."
But that movie really like boom, like who was that guy?
Catapulted.
And then Heat, you know, Heat, I'm almost tearing up. He put me with like the A-League.
Yeah, man.
De Niro, Pacino, I'll be your Huckleberry.
Yeah.
You know that? I still think he should have won an Oscar for that.
Sure.
For Tombstone.
Sure.
Honest to God.
Tombstone was phenomenal.
You know, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave. I know that whole thing. I've got that on my, what do you call it?
Huh? On your iPad? Or
iPad.
Something?
Yeah, I got that on my iPad. Yeah. I watch it every time I'm in a plane.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal, man. Yeah. So those movies kind of put you in the place that you felt like you were. Did that?
I really made
prior
it.
To that. Did you? Prior to that, did you go? I don't know if I want to do this acting thing.
No,
for
it
how
wasn't,
much longer?
Who? No, I'm making good money.
Yeah, you were living.
Because I got. See, I remember I got a. I got when my first movie was a Runaway Train.
Yeah.
And I ran into Eddie Bunker on that. Did I tell you this? I ran into Eddie Bunker.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, hey, you know, are you still boxing? And I said, well, I still train. You know what I mean? I don't want to get hit in the face no more. I'm 40 years old.
Yeah, right.
And he said, we need somebody to train one of the actors how to box. And I said, what's it pay? Because they were going to give me $50 for acting like a convict.
You know, right, you know, right.
And he says, $320 a day. And I said, how bad you want this guy beat up?
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was a hit.
You thought you were going to fuck him up. Yeah.
And I thought he was mad at somebody. I'd have done it for another $50. And then he says, we need to train this actor how to box. I said, okay. So I started training an actor named Eric Roberts how to box for the movie Runaway Train. And the director saw me and saw that Eric respected me and would kind of do what I told him.
You're right.
So he came up. I'll never forget. They picked me to fight Eric in this movie. And they brought us in front of the director, and the director said, you be in movie. You fight Eric in movie, and you be my friend.
Wow.
Well, if you got a prison background, you be my friend is kind of a red
a different
flag.
Terminology.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You and meet so me in the shower, and you meet my friend. You're like, and fuck that.
He leans over and he kisses me on one cheek, kisses me on the other cheek, because he's like a Russian.
Yeah.
And I remember telling it, Eddie, look, I'm going to train the kid for $320, but if I'm going to be kissing that old man, I want more money. And he says, no, he's European. You know?
You got to give a fuck what he has. So, I'm not kissing men for $300.
And Andre... And I and Eddie became really good friends.
Yeah.
Really good friends.
That was the start of a new thing,
that
man.
That was it.
But
before that, I'd never really thought about being in the movies other than an extra here or extra there, you know, just
for fun.
Extra $50.
Right.
And because that's when they used to pay you cash.
Yeah. You know, don't do that anymore.
And, I did that the first 5 years of my career. I never even had a name.
I was always
badass or
tough guy.
Me Chicano or tough guy. Yeah. Or I remember the first time I got interviewed, and this girl probably fresh out of interview school, she says, Danny, don't you feel you're being stereotyped? I said, what do you mean? She says, well, aren't you being typecast? I says, as what? She says, well, as the mean Chicano dude with tattoos. I thought about it. I lift up my shirt, and I said, I am the mean Chicano dude with tattoos. What are you talking about? Somebody finally got it right.
Yeah.
You know, they don't got Marky Wahlberg being Mexican. Yeah. You know, and so, no, but you understand? So I didn't know that I was typecast. Nothing. I'm making $320 every time I showed up on the set.
Right.
Because I was SAG.
Right, you're in the union, yeah.
And so the director would always want to give me a line, even if I just showed up, and he would say, Danny, can you say something kind of prison-y? I go, sure. Kill that fucker. And he, oh my God, that's perfect. You know? And so,
you're like, I said that a million times. It's like, I don't need to rehearse this at all.
This one director said, Danny, this is what we got. Look, I want you to, it's a poker game. I want you to kick in this door. They're all stunt people. You'll bash somebody in the mouth. They all know what to do. You know? Okay. So I kick in the door, and this girl jumps up, and I just go like this in front of the girl. Whoa! And she flies, and the other guy bang him. But all right, move, because I ain't killed a white boy all day. And cut. My God, Danny, where did you study? This guy was almost dead. I said, robbing poker games and... Vons. He didn't get it. He goes,
yeah, you're like the Vons on Western.
Circle Liquor. Yeah. Bob's.
Bob, big boy. You hit them all. You're like, I'm a man of the streets.
The first Eddie Bunker was funny. He goes, yeah, the first 5 years of your career, you know, the, no, he said, the last part of your life was a character study of all the guys you're going to play.
Wow.
And it was like, God, it was like fun.
That's,
like,
that's profound, right?
You know, yeah. And it was like, okay, I can do this.
Right.
And I just kept doing it. The first name I ever got, I didn't even get to play Mexican. I was Italian. I was Art Cinella in a Charles Bronson movie, Death Wish 4.
They do that all the time. They make Mexicans and Italians the same guy. Yeah, they're interchangeable. This guy's just a little tan.
You know, and so I played Art Cinella.
Art Cinella.
And then me and Charles Bronson made friends. And he about six months later, he called me for another film. Danny, you want to do this movie? And bring your friend, I had his friend George Berry, right?
Yeah.
Old man. And bring your friends. And so we were like extras, but we got paid SAG.
That's because, wonderful. Because Bronson wanted you out there.
You know, so, and so what did I yell? They were putting this guy into jail, and I said, hey, put him in my cell. That was my...
That was your line.
And George says, yeah, let the old man have some. That was our line.
That
right?
was it.
And we each made $320.
Did they let you guys improv, or was that they wrote that?
No,
for
we
you?
Just said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you just say it.
Directors always say something kind of prisony. All right, how about I'll kill you? Yeah, great.
Perfect. Perfect. Yo, you sound like a natural. You sound like you've done it before. You're like, I have, motherfucker. What's the one kind of film or the one thing that you haven't done that you do want to do? What's something that you're like, man, you know what I haven't done and I haven't been able to?
I don't know. I love done Westerns. A lot of, I just love Westerns.
Westerns, yeah.
I could do Westerns all day long.
Yeah.
Man. I just love them.
The Coen brothers, they make some wild, cool desert shit, you know? Like, stuff like that. I love that world, too. And I think, you know, like Westerns have kind of slowly made some sort of a comeback, and they take shape, right? There's like horror Western type of genre, the comedy Western type of thing is coming back again. Because for a long time.
I did a Western with Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah, right.
Ridiculous Six,
right.
God, I never had so much fun. That guy's funny.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
And I was talking to my cousin Gilbert. My cousin Gilbert then was still in prison, and he called me from prison. And so I'm on the set, and I'm like, yeah, cool, all right. And then, hey, Adam, come here. And just say hello to him. It's my cousin. He's done 38 years. Talk to him. Hey, yeah, no, cool, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And then my cousin says, you know, I'll do anything for my cousin. And he goes, anything? Oh, yeah, anything. So then Adam gives me the phone back, and I says, yeah, Gilbert, hey, so can I tell Adam that I'm going to be in all his next movies? And he goes, yeah, tell him that. Adam goes, got
yeah, he doesn't want to cross you, man. He's like, Gilbert will fuck you up. Gilbert's awesome. Gonna find you in Brentwood. Go get that ass.
Yeah, I love Adam. He's so cool.
He's hysterical. He put out a new comedy special. It's one, and we've talked about it before on this podcast. He's brilliant, man. He is one of those guys.
But you know
what?
He's one of the nicest guys in the world.
He would be, because he's stayed humble.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't let all the bullshit get in front of him. Right.
You can't.
That's the biggest thing I hate.
Eddie Bunker once gave me the best advice, because I remember we were with a movie star and he left and everybody started talking bad about him. I don't know. And he's Danny, try to remember this. I said, what? The whole world can think you're a movie star, but you can't. And I thought about that. And Eddie Bunker used to give me some profound shit.
Yeah,
right? And I seen the way everybody talked about him when he walked away. That fucking punk, I stabbed that son of a bitch. And it was like, whoa, that's right. Yeah. I don't want to be that. I want every situation I leave, I want to leave better. I don't care what it is.
Right.
You know, I don't care what it is. It's like, and that's the way I live my life. I won't leave a situation bad. And I won't let nobody fuck with me.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like I said, I pulled a couple of people aside, told them, you know, look, I'm not Hollywood, I'll beat you to death. and not fair either.
Right, right. I'm going all out.
I like people that, well, you don't fight fair. It's a fight, you fucking idiot.
There's no rules,
oh,
bitch.
Yeah. You mean hitting me with a bat from behind is fair? You want to win. You know, so it's like, what the hell's up? That's why I don't fight.
Yeah.
People talk about, in prison, it was so funny. It was like, I remember the bottom line to an argument is a murder. And I thought, well, that's pretty extreme. But that's the truth.
Yeah, that is the truth. That's the truth.
The bottom line, okay? So now, when somebody starts arguing with me, automatically, is this worth a killing? No, fuck no. I'm going to get away from there.
Not, yeah.
I don't want to hear this shit. You know, come on. It's a, you're working 7-Eleven. You're going to argue with me? Shit, God, leave me alone. I'm going to leave.
Right. You're going to get the fuck out.
Yeah, it's like, it's stupid. Right. I will not argue. People have tried to get me into arguments. And people have tried, but now they want me to sock them so they can sue me.
Right, right, right. Now you got money. Before they just wanted to fight. You know, now they want to win some fucking cash,
like,
off you.
And so you know, it's like, I don't want to fight. I don't
no, yeah,
argue.
You're over all that bullshit. Yeah, but yeah. Just so people know, he will still fuck you up if you cross him, right? Yeah. Don't think you can get away with some bullshit on Danny Trejo just because you think you're a tough guy. Fuck like, that.
You know, I mean, it's so funny. It was like, there was a time when, you know, I'll kill you, then I'll go kill the people that dry clean your clothes.
Damn.
You know, it's like,
that's ice.
That's the mindset. You know, prison, there's only two kinds of people in prison. There's predator and prey. Now, what do you want to be?
Yeah, that's it. Do people kind of suffice themselves to being prey if they know they can't handle it? They're like, fuck it, I'll just...
What me and a guy named Tyrone Rye had, I can say he's dead. They beat him to death, but...
Who did? Prisoners or guards?
No, this was on the
street. On the street.
And we had a little protection ring going. And if people are smart and they come to prison and they know they're not in their element, this is not my element, you know what I mean? Then they will find somebody that they can pay to make sure that nobody hurts them. We had this one gay couple, and they were married on the streets, you know what I mean? So when they came to prison, they're targets. That's all. They're just targets. They came to us and said, you know what? Look, we just don't want to be bothered. And that's okay. But then there's rules. Okay, you can't walk around here being tough. You got to respect everybody, and you just got to stay out of people's way.
Right.
If you don't do that, we'll feed you to the animals.
Right.
And literally, they had money. And let me tell you something. Every celebrity that has gone to jail, I don't care who they are, has paid protection, okay? Remember that. Because if they got money and I don't, they're going to pay. And so... But that's just the way it is.
Yeah, some rules.
No, I didn't. Bullshit. You know? And these guys were like, great. They were angels. If you can't pay, okay, well, then clean up the cell.
Damn.
You know, okay, and then they would take care of your shoes, take care of your lawn, do all that stuff. You know?
Right, so they figured out a way.
But you know what? 5 years after I'd gotten out of prison, I was still getting Christmas cards from people's families that we had helped.
Yeah, you had protected.
Yeah,
you kept people alive.
Absolutely.
But now you keep now years later. How funny! You keep a lot of people alive, but you do it.
No,
in a civil way, right? Now you keep all these people alive.
Western Pacific Med Corp has 13 detoxers throughout Los Angeles. So we detox.
And you do drug counseling. You do all that, right?
All of it. Yeah,
that's incredible.
Mark Hickman is my CEO, and he allows me to go do film, do whatever, simply because. It's like, it's good to spread the message of, hey, you know what, if you're using drugs, call us, man. Western Pacific Med Corp. We'll detoxify you.
You try to help. You're giving back, man.
And like Mario Castillo, I met him in San Quentin, actually. I think I told you. But,
yeah.
But he works for me. And he like, gets people into detox like that quick. Yeah.
Because he knows. Because the best people to deal with addicts are always addicts, right? If you've lived through the shit, you know how to get people out of the shit.
You know what's so funny? Because when I first got into drug abuse, helping people, there was a big fight between psychiatrists and professional people and ex addicts because they realized that, wait, no, you don't know, I've been trained. So finally, in like 79, 80, 81. They started realizing, wait a minute, man, we can't get to these people because they don't trust us,
right?
Because we haven't. So all of a sudden, they started encompassing. That was a bitching sentence right there.
Yeah.
Encompassing drug addicts, you know, that were clean and sober into their, you know, into their
facility.
Yeah, facilities.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it worked.
And it worked. And now it's, you'll do that for the rest of your life. You'll help for the rest of your life.
Oh yeah,
that's wild, man. How many fucking businesses do you own, Danny? Seriously. Well, I think I was in Vegas. Somebody told me. I was just, somebody told me you're opening up shit in Vegas.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna do.
You're everywhere, huh?
We got eight restaurants right now, and Vegas has contacted us. San Antonio, Texas, contacts, and Hawaii, because we've got a restaurant at LAX in Southwest Terminal. So okay. They just opened up a terminal in Hawaii.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I know you have. I know you have one at LAX. I've seen it.
They want us to go there. So.
That'll be a nice vacation, huh? Yeah. Plug that shit.
Yeah, I have to go. I'll probably have to go there every month for a week.
Oh, fuck. Well, you need someone to go with you? I'll go out there and help you, man. I'll go make sure the tacos are getting cooked.
I got some honeys already set.
I was just
we'll go.
Say, yeah, yeah, no shit. Yeah, Danny, do you need someone to just help you along the way? Yeah, okay.
And then I have a record company, you know, Trejo's Music, and we're dropping an album. We're dropping an album this... Oh no, don't tell me. We're dropping an album. Where's my text? I don't know how to do this shit.
But you got a brand new Trejo's Music is the name of the record company.
Trejo's Music and oh here it is.
And you got a bunch of artists all over there. I know you told me.
Yeah, here we got Frankie J, Baby Bash, Chiki Rivera, daughter of Jenny Rivera, Trish Toledo, Tara New, my artists, awesome. And Joey Quiñones. We're dropping that album on Father's Day. It's Father's Chicano Day. Soul Shop, Volume 1.
Chicano Soul Shop, hey! Baby.
And it is like unbelievable, man.
That's you know awesome. I mean?
And it's like so much fun. And I started that again. Tara was like, she'd been bouncing around trying to sing, you know, for years. And I said, you know, come on, man. Let's start a record company.
Yeah, why not, right?
And we started this record company. Amazing. You know, it's like
now, are you putting out everyone's individual album too, or just this these collaborations?
This is a collaboration. This is all right. These people are on this album, and some of them already got their followings, and
yeah.
And so I think what I'm going to do is every album that I put out, I'm going to put a new artist on it, so that they can get. Recognition.
Yeah,
they can,
and the community grows and thickens,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's great, man.
I love this stuff.
What's this new business you open? What's this Giddy thing that you do?
Oh, yeah. Well, Giddy, that's for people that might have ED.
Oh, you know? Yeah, they got pee-pee problems.
But it's not a problem. It's like, you know, sometimes you're tired, she's not, and it's like, hey, you know, let's get some help. That's all. It's not or it could be a problem. You know what I mean? But right. Like, I know sometimes, I've been out all night. Right. You know what I mean? And, right. Wait a minute. So it's like with this Giddy, it's like all of a sudden it's like, okay, all right, climb on, let's do it.
Some tell me you don't need help, though. You don't need help,
cool,
do you?
I'm
yeah,
cool.
I think you're cool.
But you know, like a lot of the friends that I've turned on to this, they're like, hey, this is cool, Holmes. And so that's what it's about. It's about, yeah. And it's like people, you know, talk about anything sexual, blah, blah, blah. Like if you talk about condoms, whoa. You know, I think people should just be free to talk about any, especially condoms. You know, we got so many babies running around.
We got too many babies, man. You only got four that you know of. You don't know about the rest, man.
I got three. Okay. Don't give me another
one. No, there is another one. We brought them in here. Come on in, Gabriel. We got another one, man.
You know what's so funny? My son one time was in a... My son and my daughter, they were in this tattoo shop. And these two girls, these two twins came in, and they pointed to my picture and said, hey, that's our dad. And my son, what? And they said, well, that's what my mom says. You know.
That's who I was thinking about when I made you. I was with your shitty dad, but I was thinking about Daddy Trejo.
I think my son said, nah, hey, if he's not paying child support, you're not his.
You're not his.
Because I pay my child support.
That's exactly right. Daddy Trejo pays his fucking child support. Make no mistake, man. Yeah.
And it's so funny because when, like, my friends, man, dear baby, shut up. You had the baby, you better pay your child support.
Yeah, it's your kid,
hear it.
Man. Yeah. That's wild. That's funny that people say that. People want to escape that.
My kid's mom, Maeve, she just became a lawyer.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And what kind of lawyer do you know?
Family law. Yeah, she works with autistic children. So me and her are going to start a West Side Advocates.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is help... Because LA City schools are falling really short of special needs children. So what we're going to do is be be their attorneys, because you have to be an attorney to deal with LA City schools if you have an autistic kid.
Right,
so,
right.
So she does it.
You know, that's one more thing you're doing again for the
yeah, yeah.
When do you take? What's the thing that you do just for you? You help out a lot of people. You do like seriously. What's the one thing that you're like, this is just for me, man?
You know what? I work on my cars at Chubby's Automotive. That's yeah. the most. The that's my.
You and Chubby just hang out and kick it, like talk
my,
shit.
My go yeah. to place. Yeah.
They so that's kind of like the barber shop for you. That's yeah, your right, hangout. Right. You know what
they
I mean?
They don't like me to play with the tools, but yeah. So I got to bring my
yeah, because they know what you used to do with them, man. I don't want to fucking, someone doesn't want to end up with their head busted.
But no, it's like, you know, like my that's my passion. You know,
yeah.
like, man, I got a 36 Dodge. I got a 1965 Buick Riviera.
Mm. That's gorgeous. Beautiful. Buick Rivs are gorgeous. Beautiful, man.
And you know what? When I cruise that Van Nuys Boulevard Wednesday nights, and it's like, people just stop. And then Chubby put a air horn on it for me. So when I hit the horn, it's like a diesel, like a diesel truck, you know yeah. what I mean? So,
let them yeah. know you're there, right? Yeah, let them know you're coming through, man.
Yeah, so.
So that's your thing, that's for you,
but
right?
Now listen, I got a little boxer, and her name is Senisa. Wait, hold on, I get her last name is, God, who was Estrada?
Estrada, yeah.
Her name is Senisa Estrada, right? And she is the WBC featherweight champion of the world.
Wow.
Okay. And when she was 8 years old, she was begging her dad, because he was working with the boys, begging her dad, train me too, dad, train me. And, you know, Pops is, you know, Mexican. You know, he's like, yeah. Mama, this is for men.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And right. This is for men, baby. Daddy, please, 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 baby. So Pop says, okay. So he goes to this 10-year-old kid, right? She's 8 and says, look, I don't want you to hurt her, but I want you to convince her that she don't want to box. You know.
Right.
The Mexican way of doing this. So puts her in the ring. She kicks the shit out of this kid, okay? They had to pull her off him. He went to the ground. She was
whopping her on the ground?
No. She said, will you train me? Yeah, I'll train you now.
Yeah. So, you got something.
So right now, he quit training the boys. She's
Is that your, that's your air horn. That sounds like your car.
she's the featherweight or paperweight, I forget, man.
Yeah. The champion.
WBC champ of the Damn. World. Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Unbelievable. She wears my logo from my restaurants on her
shorts. Oh, so she's just sponsored by Trejo.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You do Trejo Sports. That's going to be next
Sports.
For you, man. Yeah,
you
man.
Damn you right. I'm going to be with what's his name. I love him, too. I always forget his name. He's always in the fights. Probably the only one that really understands boxing, and I always forget his name.
But an announcer. Who was it? A fighter? Oh, an announcer?
Yeah.
At the fights?
Yeah.
What guy? Which one, though?
Oh, God. I forget. He's always on the big
you got to sponsor him though, huh?
No, he's cool though.
Yeah,
he's
that's
cool,
what you got to do. Or God. get with the Buffer brothers. They're still yeah, announcing. You know those. They're still doing the intros.
No, he's not announcing. He's more of a commentator.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The hell's his name? Oh man, I'm sorry.
We'll figure it out. That's fine.
But anyway, one time he asked me about Floyd Mayweather.
Mm, about. Yeah, what, sponsoring would I, him? Yeah. Would you? Yeah.
No. He asked me about what I thought about Floyd Mayweather. And I remember saying, you know, that's one of the greatest boxers that ever lived. Boxer.
Yeah.
Boxer. Okay, not a fighter. He can fight. If you want to go to the mat, he will go. He can fight. You know, kid was raised in alleys. But as a boxer, he's the greatest.
Oh, you know? he's one of the greatest of all time, without a doubt.
Absolutely. And I said, the difference between Floyd and everybody else is playing checkers while he's playing chess.
Oh yeah, that's a
you
fact.
Know what I mean?
Yeah,
and he's just amazing.
He's so smooth.
And it's like people go to the board. Oh, this is boring, but they don't understand boxing.
Right. Well, there's a lot of skill and technique and timing absolutely. And precision. Right. You know what I mean? That's the beauty. I always loved boxing. The problem with
me too.
Boxing, unfortunately, now it's lost so much fanship. It's gone by the wayside, man. It's great. I mean,
it's like MMA. Just there's too many sexual positions.
It's too much for
you. Yeah, it's like, just like, wait a minute. Hey, they're not, come on, they're kissing. Stop it.
Why is his dick out? That's that, you know what? No, listen, I've recently, I've recently learned a lot about it, you know, about the world of it. And I respect the shit out of fighters that they train like crazy. I went to the Mayweather-McGregor fight, which was wild. That was a weird-ass fight.
Well, you know what? McGregor, I'll tell you something. If you look at that fight, Mayweather actually played with, Mayweather actually played with McGregor from the third round on.
Oh, well, right.
He just
kept
beating him, beating him. And right when he was just going to knock him out, they like pulled him off. You know what I mean? Because he was, but McGregor, well, Nick Diaz beat the shit out of McGregor.
Connor,
McGregor.
Yeah, Connor McGregor.
Yeah, beat the hell out of him. And they were supposed to have, they had another fight. Okay, now I know that Diaz wanted a third fight. They would have made millions, right?
Ton of money.
So his heart really wasn't in to the second fight.
Right.
And McGregor beat him, but now McGregor won't fight him again.
No, because
Diaz will just beat him to death.
Yeah, that I think that ship has sailed.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah.
That's all gone now.
And so they lost. They could have both made a ton of money, but like I said, McGregor didn't want to fight him again.
Was it? What do you think would bring boxing back into the limelight? You think something? You think it'll ever come back?
I don't think it's left. I think I still love watching it. There's a lot of people that still love watching it. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like
But the fanship has gone down. That's what's hard, right? Oh, yeah. It's just gone down.
Well, it's like what we need is
we need a hero, man.
Yeah, a little paperweight named Sanisa my fighter.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
She's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, you I just mean, you just we just need pretty. Someone.
She's pretty. Her gorgeous little face can
pop the round.
God, fight her ass. You know, just like God, she's like beautiful. I'm just but can fight.
But see, that's funny. I think we need another name, right? Because like Tyson did this thing for boxing, right?
Hey,
like they did so these names, they did things for
Tyson
boxing.
Tyson could still be fighting if it wasn't for drugs and Don King.
Yeah, Don King. I blame him for all that shit. Yeah, I think it's Don King in general.
He could still be fighting. God,
Don King
so
fucked
sorry.
Up a lot of people.
I was
man.
So sorry to win money on Buster Douglas.
Yeah. You bet on
well,
Buster.
I had gotten a report that he wasn't training.
Sure.
And he was, you know, partying.
How much did you bet on Buster? Will you tell me?
A lot.
That says enough.
Yeah.
That says enough.
It was, 50-1, 45-1.
Yeah, that's wild.
You know.
So you knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Well, listen, man. I really appreciate you coming by and hanging with me.
I loved it.
This is fun, right?
When can we do this again?
Let's do it all over. We can keep going for a long time. Yeah. So I'm going to plug everything for you in the description to follow on everything that Danny's doing and all the Trejo shit, the Trejo empire, if you will. I'll put the description down there. Do you got a website? You got like a DannyTrejo.com? Is that
the Danny Trejo original? I don't know.
So it's on there. Yeah. We'll plug it. We'll
and
plug
you know
on the
what?
Internet.
My son's movie, man. My son's movies. You gotta look it up. It's called From a Son.
From a Son.
And it's just
and you're in it.
Tragically beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm the lead.
Oh yeah, you better fucking believe you're the lead.
But it's a movie. It's a kind of movie I've never done. It wasn't.
Yeah. Was it emotional?
Man, he
heavy,
made,
huh?
Yeah, and you know, it was like. He was reminding me of all the little stuff he did when he was a baby. My son went through a big drug deal, you know, drugs. I mean, I almost lost him, you know what I mean?
Damn.
What
happened?
Well, he started using heavy heroin, right? And I'm out of the country and who was saving his life literally was Mario Castillo and Mary Matico. You know, they were like following him around and chasing him I'd call from Germany and I can't get a hold of him. He said, oh, I'll find him. And Mario would go find him. He's okay. And so when we finally got him into detox and stuff, you know, and he cleaned up, it's like he wrote this screenplay and he was reminding me that, man, when it came to me, my emotional part, I lost it, man.
It was tough, huh?
It was I couldn't talk. I was sobbing so bad, you know, and he got it on film And I says, Gilbert, cut that shit out. He's like, I can't, Dad. You'll win a kind of Academy fucking award. I don't give a fuck about award. Everybody's going to think I'm a fucking sissy.
I cut that shit out. I look like a bitch on film.
And but it was like, you know, like I'm my son's dad. You know, fuck, man. And so the good thing, the thing about this movie, if, you know, when you have a big star, and no, like Julia Roberts, amazing actress.
Yeah, she is.
Gorgeous. But if she's in the movie, you lose the message. Everybody's talking about what a wonderful job she did.
Sure.
What a, how gorgeous she looks. And, you know, they, so they lost the message is about a kid dying.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And so I'm not a big star. You know, I'm a worker bee. You know what I mean? I don't know what the fuck you call it.
I think hell, worker bees is good.
Yeah, you know, okay.
And, we need the fucking worker bees, man.
I keep working. And so when I'm in this, it's like you don't lose the message.
Right.
And if you look at this message is not about the cartel. It's not about, it's about upper middle class kids when they're in their drug addiction, not the fall.
Right.
Do you understand?
Right.
So we started at, and it's like, man, you know, when you're shooting dope out of a toilet and, you know, when you're like, you know, the little girl. Oh man, I can never remember her name. Damn.
Is a little girl in the movie?
Yeah, she is.
See if I can find it. Let's see if I can find it.
She's Russian, and her name. Oh my God, forgive
Russian.
Me.
A Russian woman, Vladimir Putin, Putin's kid. Wait, but, and it's called From a Son.
From a Son, yeah. And it's Gilbert Trejo, and her name is Sasha.
That's we're going to find name. It. We're going to find it. We're going to find it. From a Son, S O N Son, right? Yeah. Ah, why can't I find it? We're going to find it, man. We're going to find it here. Also, I was looking, by the way, I was looking. Trejo, I thought, does that that doesn't translate to anything?
Bad motherfucker.
Bad motherfucker. All right, look, it's not missing you from hell is the last one that's on here right now. So I think the new film isn't on there yet.
I'll get it right.
But you'll get it. You're ahead of the game. You're ahead of the game, man. But either way,
so this is all about like when they're done, you know, and my son Gilbert, he goes out and he overdoses. But you know, like when you were young and your mom used to say, you know, when you got in trouble, I woke up in the middle of the night. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
And your mom's knew it. So when he overdoses, I woke up in the middle of the night.
How old was he when he overdosed?
Gilbert, hey, what's Sasha's name? Verlova. Look, that's my son.
Let me say, hey, what's up, man? Your dad's on my podcast. How you doing, brother?
What's that?
I say your dad is on my podcast. How you doing?
Oh, man, sorry. We're just setting up a merch table and doing a
sound. Oh, I think they're shooting something or something. All right.
They're shooting a video, I think.
Oh, okay.
He's with the Star Crawlers right now, which is a band. He's probably shooting for.
Oh, okay, dope. What's the name of the girl? Your dad wants to know the name of the star, the other girl in From a Son.
Oh, her name is Sasha Frolova.
Sasha Frolova.
Hey, what's Arrow's last name?
Arrow's last name is DeWild.
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 DeWild. There you go.
They're Star Crawlers, right?
Yeah, Star Crawlers.
Awesome. All right. I love you, son.
I love you too.
All right.
I'm coming back on Wednesday now.
Oh, cool. Then I'll see you because I'm leaving on Thursday.
Yep.
All right.
All
right. Love you.
That's family love right there.
That's how men
who work together.
So this movie, right? This girl, there's a part where she says, I said, did you kill my, we're in the middle of the desert where she buried him, right?
Right.
And I said, did you kill my son? And she says, no, he was my best friend. And she starts crying. Now this little girl looks like the perfect little girl that just got off the bus from Bogalusa, Louisiana,
right,
and came into L.A. to be a star,
right,
and two pimps grabbed her. I'm just vulnerable as hell.
Right.
So when she says, you know, she says, no, he was my best friend. And I'm supposed to say, well, okay, because let's go. And I put my coat on her. So what happened was my son had been feeding me all this stuff about him being little. And when you remember this, Dad, remember that, and remember my little truck. So when she looks at me and she's crying, I lost it.
Yeah,
I couldn't. And then I started like sobbing, and I'm saying, I don't want him out here alone because it's cold. And I couldn't stop. I'm snotted and shit. And I'm like, the fuck, I'm trying to hide. And it was like, I wanted to give my son the finger. You know what I mean?
But it probably was a great fucking scene.
But it came out like, and then finally when he said cut, everybody's crying. And so it was like, fuck, I said, Gilbert, you have to cut that shit out of here.
You made some magic.
And so, but he knew how to get to me, you know what I mean?
Well, it worked.
Yeah, and then right now he's with the band called Starcrawler.
Starcrawler?
Yeah. And
they're making a music video?
Yeah, and what's her name? Oh, Arrow.
DeWild.
DeWild, yeah.
Arrow DeWild.
And she's like, wow. She's like real quiet, but God, when she gets on stage, she's like, lets
it out.
But I love my life. I love my job.
Your life is good. Yeah. You have another movie coming out that's coming up soon. What are you doing right now?
Well, I'm going to be in Dora the Explorer.
Shut up.
Cartoon, yeah. I'm going to be the voice of Boots.
Boots. You're going to be Boots and Dora the Explorer. That's wild. Guy, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
Dora, I don't think we should be doing this. And then I'm going to be, it's funny because I went to the Super Bowl and Snoop Dogg was performing.
Yeah.
And I go up on stage, I go, Snoop, what's up? He goes, this a bitch. Two of the oldest gangsters in LA and we're in SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants.
Shit. Yeah.
I'm Diablo the Pirate, you know, so it's like, God, okay, we're cool.
Full circle, man. You've lived all the lives, right?
I love it.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Trejo, Mr. Danny Trejo, everyone, I appreciate you coming. This meant the world to me. It was incredible.
Bless.
I'm going to plug everything that Danny's up to right now so you guys can check out all that stuff.
I'm coming back. All right?
He's going to come back again and again and again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's going to come back over and over.
I'm leaving for Switzerland this Thursday, but I'll be back.
He'll be back, all right? He'll be back. Next week, I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. Go to AndrewSantino.com for all that jazz. It's in the description. Peace.
Whisk. You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.